Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we've been looking specifically at verses 7 down to verse 12 the last couple of weeks, and we'll just remind ourselves that the Apostle Paul is wanting to convey to the Corinthians and to you and me that it's vital that we remember that God put this treasure in us. The treasure is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ as our life, our resource. And he put that inside of us, inside these earthen vessels of clay, so that we would see that the excellency of the power, the ability of the power to excel beyond what we could do, that it must be of God and not of us. That's back at verse 7 there. That's a passage you ought to memorize. I trust that you have memorized. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I was counseling with a couple on the phone. Yes, it was Monday. Some neat folks just going through some pretty difficult struggles. And one of the things that was conveyed was how it's just so hard. It's just so hard going through these particular struggles that they're experiencing, and that they just didn't know if they could continue. And I was conveying to them, based upon this passage right here, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, that it's times like this that remind us how weak we really are and how utterly dependent that we are and need to be on God and His Word. If we could get through the tough times, then why do we need Christ? If we could get through the tough times without Him, then why did God put this treasure in us? God could have simply said that, you know what, okay, I saved you from hell, and now just do the best you can the rest of your life here on planet Earth, and then I'll see you whenever you get up to heaven. But He didn't do it that way. Not only did He save us from hell and give us His own righteousness, but He imputed to us eternal life and gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit, the resident life of Christ in us by means of His Holy Spirit. He put that treasure in us as a resource so that He could live His life in us and through us here and now, not just when we get out there in heaven, but here and now. And that we would come to that place in our life sooner rather than later, and often rather than infrequently, to the place where we recognize it's better to need Christ than to not need Him. It's better to need Christ in all areas in our life than to not need Him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. Yet not I, but Christ. That's another way Paul is saying this here when he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so we've spent quite a bit of time in these verses. And let me also convey that within the last 2 or 3 weeks, I tell you, I've gotten more emails and or comments on this section here from people. I want to thank you that have been sending those emails. But I tell you, this section, the saints are relating to, and that's a blessing. I've gotten more emails from people that have said, wow, this has just been a blessing and a renewing of the mind and the spirit, as those who are sending those emails and correspondence and even some phone calls, that this passage really has encouraged them. That was another saint that I was talking to. Her mom is not doing real well. She's on hospice right now, going to go home to be with the Lord. Well, you know, it's hard to say how soon, but she's kind of taken a real steep decline just over even the last 5 days. And this saint and her mom, they're both saints, but they're very, very close, very good friends, and it's a real struggle. And when I was talking with this individual last week, this is the passage I reminded her about. I said, you know what, go back and let's kind of think through these passages, her and her husband both, and she called me back afterwards, I guess later that day, and left a voicemail message. And just she said, "John, oh man, I know these verses." And she said, "But it was just so good to go back to them and read them now in the light of this present affliction and hardship and difficulty, and to gain from the scripture the encouragement, the edification, the strengthening in the light of this present difficulty." You know, so this obviously is a passage where we need to spend some time in and keep it readily in our hearts. And we've already looked down from verse 7 down to verse 12. Now I want to pick up at verse 13 today. Verse 13, the Apostle Paul says this: "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." These are the passages we'd like to look especially at this morning. We're actually going to spend most of our time in the Old Testament, interestingly enough, and you'll see here in just a moment why. Keep in mind that in our immediate context here, Paul keeps talking about, look back at verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death." Look at verse 13, "So then death worketh in us." See the repeated reference to dying, death, and then death. Paul says in verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says what he says in verse 13 against the backdrop of that always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. "For we which live are always delivered unto death, so then death worketh in us." He says what he says in verse 13, 14, and 15 against that backdrop. And notice the emphasis here. He says, "We having the same spirit of faith," by the way, notice spirit is little s there. That's not the Holy Spirit there. It's "we having the same spirit of faith," that same attitude of faith, that same perspective of believing God. Okay? He says, "We have that same spirit of faith according to what the psalmist wrote about and that the Lord experienced." And here's what it is: "I believe, and therefore have I spoken." That's what the psalmist wrote. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said and how he lived. And Paul says, well, guess what? "We also believe and therefore speak." And here's what we believe. We believe this, verse 14, "knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." The thing that Paul is pointing to here when he says, "we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken," Paul believed that God would raise him from the dead. Paul was not necessarily looking for God to intervene in the circumstances and alter the circumstances, or to take all the difficulties and the hardships away, to remove all the problems. That's not what Paul really was looking for. What kept Paul going forward, what enabled and empowered the Apostle Paul to go forward, is he believed what God said. And at the heart of what God said, all the marvelous truths about the heavenly places, being one with Christ and ruling and reigning with Him, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, being sons of the Most High God and saints of the Most High God, all those marvelous things, listen, at the heart of all that is the fact that God is going to raise us from the dead. See, when you're staring death in the face, and again, remember the context here, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death." Verse 12, "So then death worketh in us." When you live your life under the constant real threat and potential of death, which is what Paul did. He lived with that cloud, in a sense, over him. Not a cloud of depression, that's not what I mean. But that constant having to be aware of the fact that there were people out to kill him. People that were rejecting him, abusing him, persecuting him, but just flat out wanted him dead. And the Apostle Paul had to live with that, like the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. The Apostle Paul counted himself to be sheep for the slaughter, like he says in Romans 8, which is true of you and me as well. And the Apostle Paul says, well, you know what? The reason I kept going is because I believed what God said, is that God is the God of resurrection. He's the God who will raise me from the dead. And when you're staring death in the face, I mean, what else can you do? You're either at that moment and at those repeated moments, you're either going to believe God or you're not. But either way, God's going to do what he said, even if you don't believe him. God's still going to do what he said. But Paul says here, just like the psalmist, he says, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. That's what the psalmist said. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. We'll see that in a moment. Paul says, we know it. We also believe. We believe that God will raise us from the dead. That if we meet death now, that, verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He's going to raise us and present us. That's what kept Paul going through difficult times like this. Now, it's important to appreciate that really from the perspective that Paul was not necessarily looking for God to intervene and change all the circumstances that he found himself in. Paul was not expecting God to come and protect him, you know, put this magical force field around him so that none of the attacks of the adversary, either external or internal, could affect him. Are you kidding? Paul experienced, as he said in verse 8, trouble on every side. He experienced being perplexed. He experienced being persecuted. He experienced being cast down. And he wasn't looking for God to deliver him externally from all those things. Rather, he was allowing the treasure that was in him to be manifest and brought forth through him. And that even if he would be destroyed, if he would die, he knew that God would raise him from the dead. Now, what I want to do is, again, if you look at verse 13, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. He's making a reference to Psalms 116. Psalms 116. You want to write that down next to that verse in your Bible there, Psalms 116. And we're going to go back and we're going to spend some time in Psalms 116 this morning with some other psalms. And what we want to do is what we want to get the sense. We want to get that spiritual awareness and appreciation of not just that the psalmist said, I believed and therefore have I spoken, but the real sense of the Lord Jesus Christ who believed God and that's why he spoke. He trusted God. He depended on God. That's why he did what he did. And he trusted God to raise him from the dead. So, you could put a marker there in 2 Corinthians 4, but if you would, go with me to Psalms 116. We're actually going to look at a number of passages, but look with me to Psalms 116. You're also going to want to get Psalms 22. You're also going to want to get Psalms 16. So for now anyway, put a marker in Psalms 116, Psalms 22, and Psalm 16. This is going to be a lot to look at here, and a lot of this you're going to need to go back and study on your own and fill in the details. Psalms 116, first of all, notice that at verse 10, Psalms 116, verse 10, it says this, I believe, therefore have I spoken. That's obviously where Paul is drawing from over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, what did the psalmist believe that caused him to speak? Well, that's what we want to look at. We want to spend some time here in this psalm. Now, this psalm actually is prophetically speaking about the Messiah and his experience of entering into death, taking the cup trusting the Father to raise him from the dead, being raised from the dead, and in the presence of the Father, and in the presence of his redeemed people, giving praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Verse 1 says this, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now, historically, that's the psalmist. But understand this, that there's more in the book of Psalms that actually winds up being prophecy as compared to simply being past history. If you'll hold your passage there and go to Psalms 22. Psalms 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is there anybody that doesn't know that even though that was written by David in the past, it was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ future from David's day? It was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary? There are a number of psalms that even though they were written by David and Asaph in the past and have historical information in them, that the great majority are prophetic, most of which speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the little flock in Israel going through the tribulation period, about the tribulation period, about the destruction of the Antichrist, and then getting into the kingdom, and then fulfilling God's eternal word in the kingdom and the eternal reign of Christ. But most of what's going on in the Psalms actually is still yet to be fulfilled. Hold on to Psalms 22, please, and go back to Psalms 116. Look at what he says here again at verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Sometimes people say, well, wait a minute. Why would the I there, Christ, be saying, I love the Lord? Why is he talking to the Lord? How does that make any sense? Isn't he the Lord? Well, look at Psalms 110. Look at Psalms 110. Notice you have two Lords in that verse. Psalms 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord. You've got two Lords there. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. See that? So oftentimes in the book of Psalms, you see the Lord talking to the Lord. You see the Father speaking to the Son and the Son speaking to the Father. Back to Psalms 116, verse 1. The Lord, he says, I love the Lord. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now look what he called upon the Lord for. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. There's a pretty good description of the life of Christ in experiencing rejection, sorrows, and then, of course, eventually on the cross. Psalms 22, the sorrows of death. That's Psalms 22. And it was in that position that he, verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. That's Psalms 22. Look back to Psalms 22. Look back to Psalms 22. And he says while he's on the cross at verse 19, if you want the details of these sorrows of death compassing and the pains of hell getting pulled upon him, just read the details of Psalms 22. We're not going to read all of Psalms 22, but you go fill that in, please. He says at verse 19, Psalms 22, 19, be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul. There it is. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. See the direct parallel there? What the Messiah is saying in Psalms 116 The details of it you got back in Psalms 22 and Psalms 16. So what I want you to do now, I want you to go to Psalms 16. Go to Psalms 16. Not 116 this time, but Psalms 16, verse 1. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." This is, of course, the Messiah. "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is a portion of mine inheritance, and my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Everything fell upon Christ. The lines are fallen upon me, he said. He says, the outcome of the word of God is fallen upon me. It's in my hand. He says at verse 7, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons." Okay, now watch what he says here. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." According to Peter, in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, Peter, speaking by the Holy Spirit, says that this passage is Jesus of Nazareth. That Jesus of Nazareth set the Lord, the Father, always before him, and he would not be moved. That his heart was glad. He would rejoice. Because his flesh, he would rest in hope, in confident expectation that God would raise him from the dead. Verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." God, that is a prediction about the fact that God was going to raise up Jesus Christ from the dead. Right down next to that verse, Acts chapter number 2, go read it. Peter, speaking by the Holy Spirit, quotes that psalm right there and applies it, not to David, but to Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 11 says, if God, it says, the last part of verse 10, "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Think of what a path is. A path is a way to get from point A to point B. He's going to show him the path of life. There's a path from death back to life. There's resurrection. "In thy presence is fullness of joy." There's the kingdom. "At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." There's the eternal reign of Christ in the presence of the Father with his redeemed nation. Now, if you'll go back with me to Psalms 116. Back to Psalms 116 now. I'm at verse 4. "Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, by the sea, deliver my soul." That's him crying on the cross to be delivered from the power of the dog, from the sword, from the mouth of the lion. And then he says at verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low." Boy, isn't that true? "He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul." Well, that was Psalm 16 again. That was Psalm 16. He says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Hope of what? Hope of the resurrection. He says, verse 7, back at Psalms 116, verse 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." See, God delivered him, so what's the result going to be? Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. There's his resurrection life. And it's the land of the living. In this context here, that's that kingdom. Living among a bunch of other living, resurrected people. Isn't that amazing? And it's in that backdrop that he says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. I believed what? Christ believed the Father. He believed the Father, that the Father would raise him from the dead. That psalm was a prediction about the Lord Jesus Christ who went to the cross of Calvary. Christ had never tasted death before. There had never been a separation between the Father and the Son before. Christ himself personally had to enter into an experience that not only did he never had before, but that he did not deserve. He took upon himself sin. And in taking upon himself sin, he would take upon himself. And listen, when he went up to that cross, when he went to Jerusalem, going into the garden, knowing he was going to willingly turn himself over, he was going to that cross, knowing he was going to taste death, having never tasted it before, knowing that he was going to experience the wrath of Almighty God for my sin and for yours. He was going to drink the cup of the wine of the wrath of Almighty God. And he went there trusting that the Father would raise him from the dead. He'd never experienced that before. Either one of those things. Never experienced death before. Never experienced resurrection. And he said in that verse 10, I believed, therefore have I spoken. He believed that God would honor his word. That God was true to his word. Despite what all the circumstances around him were saying, all the circumstances, he was surrounded by the bulls of Bashan. All the power and fury of the adversary was poured out upon him. And then the wrath of Almighty God, the undiluted wrath of Almighty God, was poured out upon him. And through that whole experience, he trusted that the Father would raise him from the dead. And that is what happened. Look what he says at verse 10 again. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And that was a true statement. And those lies were heaped upon him. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Here's what he's going to do. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Look with me over in John 18. Look over to John chapter number 18. This is a passage you do want to write down next to that verse. When the Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave himself over to the betrayal by Judas, and Peter is wanting at least at this point to defend him, the Lord Jesus Christ says, you know, Peter, put up your sword. John 18:11, Christ says this. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? See that cup there? Contained in that cup was the wine of the wrath of Almighty God for my sin and your sin, for the sins of all humanity of all time. And he says, Peter, says, this is the cup of salvation. There's no other way to provide for salvation, whether it's prophetically in Israel's program, or we now know through the ministry of the Apostle Paul that his death wasn't simply for Israel, but for all men, though to be testified in due time. But contained in that cup of salvation, was the wrath of Almighty God for my sin and your sin. And he said back here in Psalm, back over in Psalms 116, he says at verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation. See, the willingness to take it, because he believes that God would raise him from the dead. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to take that cup and I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to call upon, I'm going to depend upon his name. And he says in verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. See, there he's thinking about the little flock that would go after him, experience death. Oh Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. That's Isaiah 42 verse 1. He says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant, I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. There's a description of going forward, the fulfillment going forward in that kingdom, in that resurrection, eternal reign of Christ. The absolute confidence that he would offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, that he would pay his vows unto the Father in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house. See, there was obviously a great change that was going to occur over in Jerusalem. When he was in Jerusalem at his first coming, he was not well received at all. Somebody else was in control in Jerusalem at that time. The adversary, by means of the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the high priests. Well, there's a day coming when that's all going to change. When the courts of the Lord's house are going to be sanctified and holy. Because the Lord's going to be there. And he's going to be there in the midst of Jerusalem. Well, the reason the Apostle Paul goes to this passage, back over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, you can turn back there now, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The reason he goes to that passage is that, again, in the context here, the Apostle Paul is speaking about always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, experiencing that dying that Christ experienced. The rejection, the persecution. And the thing that empowered Christ, that enabled Christ, the thing that Christ kept focusing on was the written word of God. He believed what God said. Apostle Paul's conveying the same thing here in this passage. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Paul says, you know what? We also believe. We believe God's word. We believe what he said. We believe that regardless of what happens experientially to the outer man, that God is going to raise us from the dead. Really, Paul has already addressed this issue several times in this book. Go back to chapter 1 here of 2 Corinthians. Look back at chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. There it is. Bearing about in the body the dying, the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which takes away all of our problems. No. But in God, which removes all of our afflictions. No. But rather, in God, which raiseth the dead. See, ultimately, the great ace in the hole, I suppose you could say it that way, if you're a card player. But the great promise is, you know what, regardless of what happens here, the sufferings of this present time they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That those sufferings actually work for us a far more an exceeding and eternal way to glory. And that in the end, if you die, God's going to raise you from the dead to get into that glory and experience that glory. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, so that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Back in chapter 4, verse 14, knowing that. Back in chapter 4, verse 14, knowing that. Here's what we know. We know that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, he's going to do something else. He's going to raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. There's the resurrection and there's the glory. See, if God raised Christ from the dead, then he must raise you from the dead if you've trusted him. And if he doesn't raise you from the dead, then it's because he never raised Christ from the dead. The two are inseparably linked. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees the resurrection of all those into life, newness of life, all those who are associated with him. Look over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8 verse 29 says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn there is firstborn from the dead. God raised Christ as the firstborn, and in doing so, that's the guarantee that there's going to be a lot of others that come up from the dead. Look over to Colossians chapter 1. Look over to Colossians in chapter number 1. And notice what it says here. Colossians 1:18, and Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Look over to 1 Corinthians 15. Look over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Friends, if you've got a firstfruit, that means you've got more coming. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4 now. 2 Corinthians 4:14. It says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then of course all that we're doing is meaningless. And there's no way he'll raise you from the dead if he didn't raise Christ from the dead. But the fact is, Christ came up from the dead in resurrection, eternal glory, by the power of God. In fact, Romans says, by the glory of his power. And because he raised Christ from the dead, that's how come you and I can have confidence that he will raise us, the believers, from the dead. When you are staring death in the face, you can look at it and you can say, God, you raised Christ from the dead. You'll raise me from the dead. So death, just get out of here. Death might come along and cause you fear and trembling in your flesh. But it need not cause that fear and trembling in the inner man. Indeed, trusting God's word, believing what his word says, is what will provide that peace that passeth all understanding to keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So even though the outer man is experiencing fear and trembling, the inner man is being renewed, being stabilized, experiencing that peace that passes all understanding. He says at verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. Not only that, not only is he going to raise you from the dead, Paul goes on to say, and shall present us with you. There's the glory. Go back to Colossians here. Colossians chapter 3. Turn back over to Colossians chapter 3. Now notice what it says. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now watch verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye, see the absolute guarantee of that? Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. There's resurrection, and there's being presented. Those two aspects that Paul spoke about, he'll raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us in his glory. Well, there they are, right there. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear. Well, that means you've got to be raised from the dead, and you're going to appear with him in glory. There's the presentation. Truly, we will find that the sufferings of this present time were just not even worthy to with the glory that's revealed in us. That being the case, let us say with the Apostle Paul and with the psalmist and with Christ, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Let us let that be our spirit of faith, our attitude, our perspective of moving forward in life. I believe God's word, that's how come I spoke. I believe God's word, that's how come I did what I did. I believe God's word, that's how come I had the viewpoint that I have. Well, we're out of time today, and I would encourage you for next time to go ahead and once again read this whole section here, verses 7 down through verse 18, and memorize that section. It's a passage that you will return to often. And unfortunately, the speakers on my computer are still not working. We are in the process of getting a new laptop, and the laptop I have is kind of ancient. Of course, I guess more than 6 months old now is definitely ancient in terms of technology. This computer, I think, is about 10 years old, so it's it's definitely not a new one. So we're in the process of getting another one, and should have it shortly. But for now, we aren't able to actually give you the microphone for the purpose of asking a question, because I can't hear them. The speakers don't work on this thing, and I think it's a sound card, because we even tried external speakers. They don't work either. But what we'll do is we'll go ahead and dismiss class for now. We do want to thank you for being with us, and remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Join us tonight, 7:30, for our next